Chapter 5. I don't remember going to sleep, but I wake to a sweet glissando. I am lying curled on the divan. Tor is playing something I cannot identify, although it is achingly familiar. Perhaps something he played at Navikiani. It isn't. I know that it isn't. I can tell when my ramblings begin, less from feeling my own mouth move than from the shift of Tor's attention, the discordant plink of strings as he cuts off as if startled.
"Kep?"
he says, sharp. Why sharp? I wince. Is he upset with me after all? I try to say something on purpose, but I'm still fuzzy from sleep. I don't usually see my lord so early in the morning. Or, it isn't morning, is it? The last time I was here... No, the time before that. We got drunk. The stars. I feel drunk now, pushed beyond mere disinhibition.
"Fuck,"
says the Lord of Rising Stars, and I cannot help but laugh.
"Stand up, Kep."
I blink at him. He's talking. I'm supposed to be the one talking. Maybe I'm not cursed anymore? No, he looks too worried for that. He gave me an order. I'd make a bad soldier. I'm too distracted. Maybe I wouldn't be a bad soldier if I wasn't drunk. He should have told me. He doesn't need to. It's him. Maybe he didn't know he was going to need me to... What? Oh, Picabe's here. Oh, his radiancy won't like that. They're not supposed to... Don't worry about me, Lord Madang, Picabe said cheerfully, helping me to my feet. Oh, I probably wasn't supposed to fall asleep in Tor's study. Or his bed.
Send for Gaudinius,
his radiancy says sharply. So sharply. I'm sorry, although I cannot quite say it.
He's badly fevered, my lord,
Otto says. Otto's not as cheerful as Picabe. I process what he has said. Gaudi. Oh no, Gaudi's sick. I didn't know. I was so busy with my work. Oh no!
No, Cleofer. Gaudi is fine,
Tor says.
He's fine. He'll be here shortly.
So I must be talking even though I can't say anything, unless Tor can read my mind. He is a great mage. She's coming, Kanju says, and he must mean Vinyae, because Navalia isn't... Navalia's... Oh, gods.
Kep,
his radiancy says urgently, and I swivel to look at him, to meet the lion gaze. Oh, it's so much. It's everything. I love him so much I can scarcely bear it.
My lord,
Kanju says, Sayovalan...
I will go to him,
Tor says tightly, breaking my gaze.
Stay, Kanju.
Kanju bows. His radiancy sweeps out with the guards. Where are we? Kanju kneels at my side. I'm sitting. And takes my hand and almost drops it, hissing as if I'm a snake. Or is he?
You're burning up,
Kanju says, with his veneer of forced professional calm. Matter of fact... I hold the fire. I should not burn. But... Oh, I am badly fevered. Not Gaudi. Not Navalia. Kanju brushes hair back from my temple. Too gentle. Kanju doesn't like to touch. He...
Shush, he says. Don't tell me what I like.
I'm confused. I've been... Not sick, exactly. I'm sick now, but there was magic earlier. His radiancy was going to... Tor was going to... To use his magic, somehow. And I told him no. Very strange. Why would I tell him not to use his magic?
Because you have a scrap of good sense, Kanju says. Be still, Cleofer.
I've never been good at that. Never been good at doing... Being the mouse. Making myself small. I've always burned hot. I've always been too much. Never quite what anyone expected or wanted.
Kanji is quiet for a moment, fingers on my forehead. No, he says. Perhaps not. Always what we needed, though. I slip, somehow, between the curtains. Slide out of the world. The next time I wake, I'm in His Radiancy's bed. The lights are dim, and the sheets beneath me are sweat damp, and Gaudi's sitting on the edge of the bed and holding my hand, but he isn't looking at me. I squeeze gently, and his attention snaps back, eyes wide. He's awake, he says, a sort of gasp, and in a moment a cluster of people are gathered around the edges of the bed. His Radiancy, and Kanju, and Rodin, and Ludvig, and Domina Audrey, and a young woman with mismatched eyes and skin beautifully modeled golden and pale. Domina Audrey touches my forehead and cheeks, lips pursed. He's still feverish, but no longer so much as to be a danger to his brain, she says. I doubt we will get better than that.
Our thanks, Domina. You may go, Tor says. We will call for you again when we have need.
She goes. Gaudi isn't meeting my eyes, but the young woman is. She seems curious, concerned, as they all are, but intrigued, also. I can speak again. Do I know you? I ask. No, she says, but I think I might know of you. Beyond your role here, I mean, you're the Tana, the third son, who went to sit at the feet of the sun. You're Kit Madang. Burutova told me about you when I sat at his feet. That hits me like a stone in the gut. I clutch at Gaudi's hand. You, I say. My name is Tanaea, she says. I'm here to help you. Gaudi tries to explain. Burutova never told me about the girl from the sea train, but her name, Tova and Tanaea, and her eyes, and the way that Tor is looking at her, this strange, wild, wispy hope. I feel as if I've stepped into a story again. Her story, I think. I had protested, before, that she was too young. Lord Artoran explained it all to me. I understand why you may have preferred someone more experienced, but there is some wild magic serendipity afoot that has brought us together, and I don't believe I could avoid helping you if I tried.
Our concern is much less your experience than your safety,
Tor tells her, but then turns to me.
But she's right, Kip, and we cannot wait for the Mother of Mountains.
You've been very sick, Gaudi says quietly, imploring me to understand, clutching tightly at my hand. I remember clutching Navalia like that. I don't want to be dying. The last time I thought that aloud, Kanju snapped at me. This time his mouth just goes thin, and he looks at His Radiancy with an expression I would almost call pleading. Will you let me assess the magic on you, Lord Madang? Tanaea asks, and I say yes, because I cannot lie to her. Tor sends the others away. Tanaea takes Gaudi's place holding my hand. She's very gentle with me. I think I should feel indignant, but I'm grateful, because I do feel fragile. I understand you're magic null, she says. I'm going to explain what I'm doing. I'm going to start very slowly and carefully, so you don't need to worry about distracting or interrupting me. That's good, because I can't help it, I think irritably. I look at Tor. He's tense, wound tightly. But he trusts Tanaea. I can see it, almost like something tangible. He feels it too, then. The feeling of stepping into a story. I've been a part of his story for so long that it doesn't even feel like a story anymore, I realize with a tinge of regret. I remember what it had felt like that first day. The joke, meeting his eyes.
Saving me,
he murmurs.
Go on, Saya al-Awana.
Her name brings to mind the great whale. Or, to be specific, the small and very beloved stuffed representation it had as a child. Ow, ow. Had her eyes been golden? Or is it just that I imagine every beloved thing now with golden eyes? Lord Madang, she says. Cleofer, I beg. Cleofer, she corrects. I'm going to touch you just above your breastbone with my fingers, and then I will touch you with my magic. Her fingers are light and very cool. She sets two fingers in the notch between my collarbones, staring at me, at my throat, as if she's trying to peel back my skin and see inside.
Show me,
Tor says. It is a command that is not a command. A plea. She shakes her head, just slightly, lips parted, not looking at him. I need a moment to see the shape of it, she answers, eyes still on me but speaking to him. It's large. It shouldn't be able to. She trails off, eyes narrowed. It's very strong. She withdraws slightly, pensive, and sets her other hand atop mine. Cleofer, have you engaged in magical rites or rituals, to your knowledge? I look at Tor, bewildered.
He did begin the first of the purifications 2-3 weeks ago,
he says, and horror enters his eyes.
That cannot have caused...
Not precisely, she interrupts. The Emperor... But those magics have interacted with the malicious workings. The shape of the curse is muddy. It is much weakened, but also warped. It will not be easy to remove. She looks at Tor reluctantly, and for a moment seems like a pupil. Young, uncertain. It might be easier to destroy it. Or? Well... If we finish the purifications, between your protections and the magic of Zunid, what's left of the curse wouldn't have a chance.
What do you mean, if we finish them? We haven't the time, and I won't involve the Oranatha.
Oh, she says. Sorry, I know I'm probably not supposed to know about the taboos, but I knew from the first time I saw you. I don't think many people can tell, and those of us who can certainly wouldn't say anything. We don't know what you're talking about, I say. She looks from Tor to me and back again, uncertain.
Cleofer isn't capable of lying right now,
Tor points out. But I'm sorry, my lord, but even if he doesn't know, surely you...
Saya Ao Awana, I'm very grateful for your help, but I'm afraid I'm quite impatient at the moment. Tell me what it is that I must know.
She looks like a stunned fish for a split second. Glorious one, she says, and he stiffens, frustration sharpening to irritation at the address. I'm referring to the fact that the taboos are... they are artificial. There is magic to them, but it is not binding as it once was. If it ever was.
Oh, it was. Tor says grimly. Are you saying that you can remove the taboos?
Maybe. Not without attracting a great deal of attention of the sort you wish to avoid. But I could certainly finish the process of exempting Cleofer. The purification. She leans back from me, looking at Tor. I could do it now. It would take an hour, maybe. You couldn't do it, of course. You're within it, but the rest is just ceremony. It's not... My lord, I... She swallows hard. I thought you knew. I'm so sorry. Tor laughs. It is a brittle, shattered thing.
What do you think, Kip?
He asks. I could touch him. I ask Tanaea. She nods.
Do it.
It'll be... Uncomfortable is probably an understatement, she says.
I don't care.
Kip.
Tor cuts himself off when I look at him, as sharply as I can, daring him to object. Daring him to try to stand in my way.
No.
He says quietly.
I don't have the heart to oppose you, my dear. But when she says it will be uncomfortable, you are magic null. You won't be able to feel the good of it, just the effect on your body. I need you to know that I will not, allow any lasting harm to come to you from this. It may hurt, but when it is done, it will be done.
I know, I say. Are you ready to begin? Tanea purses her lips and nods. All right. First, give me a moment with Tor. They both look surprised, exchanging glances. Gods, so easily. I've never seen Tor so comfortable with someone so quickly. And Tanea offers an obeisance that is almost blasphemously brief and leaves us alone save for the guards at the door. Lines of worry cross my lord's face, creasing his forehead and cheeks, outlining the lion eyes. I shake my head. I'm not asking for last rites, Tor. I just want to give you one more chance to hear me get out of my own way and tell you the truth.
I don't doubt you, my dear.
He says quietly, and it occurs to me that my dear is not quite the same as my dear Kip. He knows. He does know. You haven't asked me about Fanoa. What it means.
I know that it is what Aurelius Magnus was to Anoa'a.
Tor says softly.
That is enough for me. But if you would like me to ask, if you would like to tell me more...
I'm a coward, I tell him, and he laughs.
Kip, you are so many things. That has never been one of them.
I'm afraid that if I don't tell you now, that I won't be able to make myself tell you fully. A shadow crosses his expression.
Then you won't.
He says.
I don't want to know because I forced it from you. Besides, I rather think I'm going to find out, aren't I?
His expression is intent. I hope so, I whisper.
It's not.
He shakes his head.
I might be wrong, but I don't think Fanoa is what you want us to be. I think it's what we are.
That takes my breath away, renders me speechless for a long moment amidst the sea of babbling. Almost, I say. One day, I thought, after the ceremonies, but maybe...
Yes?
You're right, I say. It's blasphemy to think it, but I don't care. I look into his wide, hungry eyes. It means equal. Two halves, clamshells that fit perfectly together. And I shouldn't. You haven't stepped down yet, and I'm not... But you see it, and I feel it. We are, aren't we? We are.
Yes,
he whispers, and tears glimmer in his Efavoa eyes. In an hour, perhaps a little more, I could reach up and brush them away. I needed you to know, I say. I needed you to hear it, so you can never doubt. It isn't about the Emperor. It isn't about your secrets. It won't change if I call you by another name. Everything I do, I love you. He shudders.
Thank you, my dear.
He whispers eventually, and recovers himself before gesturing for the guards to call Tanea back in. I'm strong enough, and have enough presence of mind, to move to one of the fainting couches. Tanea stands facing me. Tor gathers his hands behind his back and presents himself as the glorious and serene one,
his face perfectly blank. He paces. He always does this, I tell Tanaya helplessly. I don't mind, she says. It's like a drumbeat. He's so even. My magic likes music. So does his, I say, not quite knowing how I know that, but I don't earn the flashing half-smile that I so love from him. The pleasure of being known. He's deep in himself, keeping his own magic calm. She begins the working. The pain begins soon after. At first, it manifests as a sense of tugging, mostly centered in my chest, as if my tendons and ligaments are trying to pull free of my bones and muscles. I grit my teeth and grimly, blindly narrate the sensations. My skin feels like plasticine, or maybe Ivoline rubber, not like skin. And I've started to shiver, that kind of involuntary full-body movement that makes one ache afterwards. Next, my body begins flashing between hot and cold. I remember that from the very beginning of the bone break fever. God, damn, I never meant for him to know. We tried so hard to make sure he didn't know how terribly I had suffered for that piece I brought him.
Of course I knew, Kip.
His radiancy's voice murmurs, deep and sorrowful. He is near me, but my eyes are closed. I cannot see.
It's all right. I didn't understand, then, why you were so determined to keep it from me. But I see it now.
I'm glad he sees it, because I cannot. I'm lost to the currents, trying to breathe, to kick, to break free. Everything is swirling around me. Everything is so heavy. I can't. And then there is singing. Low. Quiet. So beautiful. So familiar. I cannot latch on to words, if there are any. For my own part, I think I've stopped being able to speak. I think I'm only crying out, like a wounded animal gone past the point of reason to a place of pure sensation. I cannot be sure, of course. Gods, it's so beautiful. I try to ride the waves, try to find my balance and breathe, and I sink out of the world again.
Kip. Kip. Kip!
His radiancy is calling me. It seems like a dream. Except his voice is not as smooth as it should be. And my head is pounding, and... That's it. Take it easy. Tanaya says soothingly, and the world rushes back so quickly I'm nearly sick to my stomach.
You did it.
His radiancy says in a tone of hushed awe that would better suit a 16-year-old girl than the last emperor. I blush instinctively, and then realize I did not say that out loud. Yes, Tanaya says. She sounds breathless herself. The Ornatha will notice the next time they try to purify him further.
We will not permit them the opportunity,
Tord declares.
All the magic that is left to be done... For me to leave Zunid in his hands, I can do myself.
He hesitates.
It might be wise for us to find a reason for you to spend some time away from the court. I will give you my protections as well.
He cuts off. It can wait, Tanaya says softly.
Thank you, Tor replies in kind. But I would like to at least... There.
Tanaya is silent for a long moment, and then says, I know it is exceedingly presumptuous of me to say this.
Please.
I would very much like to learn that working. Tor laughs, the kind of laugh where his eyes crinkle and he tips his head back. Almost merry.
One day, perhaps,
he says, rich and pleased, and I cannot help but open my eyes then. I must see his face. Ah, Tanaya says, just outside the boundary of my awareness. I'll leave you.
Come back tomorrow, at the third bell,
Tor says.
And send in Sir Roden, please.
He pauses. There's a soft susurrus of air, a change in the pressures of the room, and then Rodin's voice. "My lord," he says.
"It is done,"
Tor says.
"The working was destroyed entirely in the process."
"A shame, my lord, but we'll continue our investigation nonetheless."
"You are an Atha,"
Tor says, and the room grows still for a moment.
"I suspect. Well, suffice to say, I will debrief you further tomorrow, but you are not to pursue further until then."
"Understood, my lord," Rodin answers, putting on a convincing facade of unruffled blandness.
"Very good,"
Tor says, and hesitates.
"Cup?"
I swallow hard and whisper, "Yes?"
"Would you like to see the others?"
I should. I know I should. But I start to tremble at the thought of more people, of being thronged, of Tor hovering at the edges, not knowing where he fits. And now that I am well, he will not know that unless I say it. "Later?" I ask, pleading, and he looks at me through alarmingly misty eyes and nods quite seriously.
"I will reassure them," Rodin says, now that I am reassured. And he claps my shoulder for a brief but strong moment before bowing and departing.
Picabe and Varro at the door. They are not looking at us. I sit up on the fainting couch and slide to the top, making room for Tor at my side. I don't quite dare to reach out my hand, not yet sure if I'm back to myself enough to trust what I think has happened, but I pat the fabric at my side, and Tor's breath catches.
"Cap,"
he says, wavering. My name is a question instead of an anchor. "Please," I answer, and once he has gathered the many folds of his robe and settled himself beside me, I set one hand between our bodies, palm up, fingers relaxed and open. "If you like," I tell him, quiet, and he looks at my fingers and then at my hand and sets his fingertips at the center of my palm, then slides until our fingers are gently interwoven. I can feel his heartbeat, strong and fast, his breath, slightly unsteady.
"You're all right?"
he asks, the last word nearly swallowed by emotion. "I am," I say. "And you, Tor?" He laughs, uneven, a little watery.
"I don't know,"
he says.
"I'm..."
He doesn't find another word to go after that. We sit in quiet for a while.
"Cap,"
he says, finally.
"I don't know what to do."
"Stay with me," I say. "Hold my hand. Or don't, if it's too much." His fingers squeeze around mine hard, defiant. "I don't need anything," I tell him, and then, because I need to be sure he doesn't stop believing it, "just you." The stars start to fall around us not long after.